Before we get to tonight's Big Brother recap, I have a special moment to thank our sponsor, but the First Lady of Podcasting on our anniversary here today. Nicole, happy anniversary to you.
Right back at
you. Thank you very much. So extra special to spend time with you talking today about today's podcast sponsor, Grove.co, Nicole. Grove.co. And I brought Nicole here because Nicole is a big fan of what they're doing over at Grove Collaborative. Because, Nicole, can you explain what Grove Collaborative is?
I'm kind of obsessed with it.
Yes. Nicole loves it so much. And Nicole hates a lot of things.
I hate everything.
She hates a lot of things. But she's very particular about the products that we bring into our home. And so when I told her that Grove Collaborative was coming on as a sponsor, they told me to go check out the website. And we got a credit to order a bunch of stuff. And I sent Nicole into the store. And she was blown away.
They have everything. They have everything from toilet bowl cleaner to hair leave-in conditioner. So you can have a clean toilet and well-conditioned hair.
Nicole has spent a lot of money over the years buying products that she can bring into the house that are not going to be harsh chemicals with the boys around the house. And so I defer to Nicole in all these areas, and Nicole would not rave about a company if she did not believe it.
No, there are other companies that have these clean products, but Grove has such a variety of products. Like, you can literally get anything on this website.
What do you like about the website?
I like that I can have a clean toilet bowl and good skin. Like, you can have it all.
Yeah, so it's not just cleaning products.
No, they have everything.
They've also got a great offer for the listeners of the podcast. They've got a $30 Mrs. Meyers gift set ready for you when you go to grove.co/Rob. I showed this to Nicole. And she was actually mad that, oh, I didn't get that.
I want that bucket.
Yes. Check that out when you go to grove.co/Rob to get started. Over 1 million boxes shipped to families across the country, rigorously tested for health effectiveness and environmental impact, and never tested on animals. Find out how Grove is committed to its customers with a 100% happiness guarantee. And I don't get that for Nicole with anything.
No, just Grove. Literally, really.
Free shipping. It's so easy to discover the amazing and affordable natural home and personal care products with confidence and supporting a safer environment for your family. So go and try Grove with a 2-month VIP membership and a bonus gift when you go to grove.co/Rob. That's grove.co/Rob. to check it out and get that free Mrs. Meyers gift, $30 value. When you go to grove.co/Rob, Grove makes it easy to have a happy, healthy home.
It does.
Thank you, Nicole.
Go get your stuff, guys.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy whose Goober rating is
0 star.
Rob Cesternino, hello everybody, and welcome back to Big Brother 20 Recap Wednesday, August 1st, first day of August. They say in August it comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb. A very pivotal month here as we cover Big Brother 20. And we've got a great guest here tonight joining us from Big Brother 17 and the creator of Sequester. Please welcome Audrey Middleton. Audrey, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. How are you?
Whoa, wow. That how is it that you have a bell? You are dressed so well tonight as well, Audrey.
Yep, I wanted to return the favor because imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Oh, yes.
You guys, you know, dressed as the blanket last week.
Yes, I was blanketing, Audrey. That I hope that my homage was received well.
Yes, it was. You guys did amazing.
Yes. When you are plaiting, what does that mean? Are you in a good mood or a bad mood?
When I'm plaiting?
Yes. Like when I'm blanketing.
In an eccentric mood.
Eccentric mood. Okay. Yeah, all right. All right. Well, of course, a man who is neither blanketing nor plaiting. Welcome back, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing kind of all right, Rob, but it kind of feels like you're making this all about you. And I just feel like you know so much about me. And it's kind of really annoying me that you're doing that, Rob.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I don't mean to put you in this sort of a position, Taryn. I apologize. I was just talking. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying.
I'm trying to be cordial right now, but I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't mean to bring all my negative energy in here, Taryn.
Yeah, you're going to have to apologize to me later.
Okay, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry. I need a hug. Okay. All right. A lot to do here tonight. And of course, we're going to be taking your questions. Scott St. Pierre is not with us, but use the hashtag RHAP, and Taryn and myself will be following the hashtag over on the Twitter, and we'll get your questions into the show later on. And of course, live feed spoilers, as we are just 24 hours away from eviction number 5. I can't believe, Audrey, it has been a week since the incident with Caitlin going out of the house. What was your reaction to all of that?
As a viewer, I'm disappointed because Caitlin was very entertaining. I kind of feel like Sam is Big Brother's Forrest Gump a mm-hmm. little bit. That's the vibe I got from her while she was HOH. Nominations are like a box of chocolates.
Yeah, you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, you don't know what anti-feminist nomination you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was obviously that I think you know how sad I was to see Caitlin go out of the house, and I hope you know that I was similarly upset when you went out of the Big Brother 17 house, because I love these people that come into the house and really shake things up.
Yeah, there's something about fourth boots, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me so sad, because it's like, you know, the live feeds are, you know, just nonstop excitement. Not to say that they're not nonstop excitement at this point in time. And they continue to be exciting as well in Big Brother 17. But there's just like the unpredictability that, you know, these really exciting players bring to the table. I love it so much.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
What
has been your thoughts overall on Big Brother 20? Are you enjoying it as much as some others?
I am enjoying it. I'm enjoying it way more than last season, for sure. I really want to see Tyler's back against the wall, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been a little too easy for Tyler. I mean, he positions himself well. He's playing the game well. I just want someone to notice that and really put, you know, him in the hot seat.
Yeah, I thought this week was going to be that week that he was going to have the hardest time. Do you feel like that he's gotten lucky in that Bailey has not seen him as a threat? Or do you think that he has played this whole Bailey HOH week so well?
I mean, I kind of feel half and half. I feel like he is playing very well, but I also feel like he is getting lucky that you know, there are all these big egos this time in the house. So it's easy to kind of maneuver around if you're, you know, a self-aware person.
Mm-hmm. Taryn, do you have a thought on that?
I mean, I'm mostly thinking about if I should put a plaid shirt on, because that's what the chat is telling me to do right now. apparently I missed the memo. I've been eyeing my closet.
There's always tomorrow, Taryn.
There is. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So we got to see tonight, you know, more of the Bailey HOH reign. Audrey, what have you thought about Bailey's run here as the fifth HOH of the house?
I was really excited that she got HOH. I'm like, oh, crap. Some stuff's going to go down this week. She's going to take out the other side. But then she told Rachel about her power app, and I kind of scratched my head a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that she also has a little HOH-itis. I think that this year there seems to be a demon in the HOH room, and every week it possesses the person who's in power, and there's a superiority complex just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have a person in the house that is your most favorite? Do you have a rooting interest in this cast?
I think I'm most rooting for Bailey to succeed and Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Scott.
Yeah, why? What is it about Scotty?
I think that he's eccentric. I liked him from his first interview. I like his high-pitched voice. I like his nerdiness and sneakiness, and he's conniving and is there to play the game. He knows what show he's on. So he's not necessarily in the best position, but I think if he can just scoot by the next few weeks, he will be in a really, really good position.
Now, do you see any similarities in Scotty to Steve Moses? That's a name that's been that's coming up in comparisons, especially from the perspective of Rachel, who, as Brent has framed it, that like her friend Jackie ended up being taken out by Steve, that she similarly fears Scotty in the house. Do you see anything there with that comparison?
I mean, I could be totally biased because I lived with Steve and I know Steve. But no, I think they're completely on different levels. They might be the same archetype, but they are definitely different individuals. So no.
Yeah. How are they different?
I feel like Steve was a little bit more socially awkward. I love him. Please don't come for me, chat. I love Steve Moses. I think he's a little bit more socially awkward, and I think that Scotty is a little bit more socially aware.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In tonight's show, we saw a little bit more of the feud between the frenemies that are the Fessy and JC tonight, where Fessy was very proud of himself. He was able to keep JC off the block in his mind. He told this to JC. JC was really not having it. He went back and told Bailey on him and trying to throw Fessy under the bus. Are you enjoying Fessy and JC?
I couldn't care less for either of them.
You're not watching the tall and the short of it?
I'm not watching the tall and the short of it.
Yes. Taryn, did you feel like that was shown as you saw it depicted on the live feeds?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I don't know how important it was in the overall context of what was going on, but I think it was depicted fairly accurately. It's Bailey getting mad at Fessy, which is pretty typical, and JC also yelling at Fessy, which is pretty typical, and then Fessy just being like, oh, but guys, which is very, very typical. So, yeah.
Yeah. So we saw Bailey. She dressed down Fessy after having the talk with JC. She woke him up out of bed to have that conversation. And then we also saw Bailey dressing down Rachel a bit in the episode tonight as well. When Rachel came to Bailey to talk about pre-veto, they were talking about how, this is, just a tough thing for her game because now she has to compete in the veto. And that's a really big deal in the house when you do well in the veto competition. And Bailey turned it back around on Rachel pretty quick. I'm sorry. You want me to feel bad for you because you're on the block and now I have to think about this stuff and your negative energy? Get out of here. Don't put Bailey in a corner, Audrey.
Don't do it. Yeah.
I feel like they both should have been on eggshells with each other a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, the nominations already happened. And Rachel, like, you're on the block. You're not invincible. Play the game. Try to win the veto and save yourself. No one's going to think you're... I think Rachel believes that she is a way bigger threat in other people's eyes than she really is. But at the same time, I think that Bailey should have been a little more sensitive to it because she did exploit information to her that could completely ruin her own game.
Mm-hmm.
So,
You know, is Rachel being naive here in that Bailey has put her up on the block, but then also fed her a piece of information that I can see why Rachel is, you know, getting these mixed messages where, you know, it's like a relationship where it's like, you know, maybe, you know, we shouldn't see each other, but also, you know, let's make plans for down the road.
Yeah, I can see that point of view. I mean, I feel like it should have been more apparent to her after being nominated that, oh, this is why she trusted me now.
Yeah. Taryn, how is there a hint that somebody should take when, because there's a lot of times in Big Brother where people are like, hey, you know, let's pretend we're not that close, but we really, you know, we're really working together. I mean, how do you decipher those mixed signals from another house guest?
Well, when they're not looking you in the eye or really not looking even in your general direction as they talk to you, and they sound really annoyed and they're telling you that you're bringing in negative energy, that's usually not the greatest sign. This whole conversation was just weird, and Bailey's been talking this way to everybody in the house. Mm-hmm. like she is talking down to them and is trying to explain why they need to be better at being people so that she can be more at peace. This whole, you came in here with all your, you may feel better, but now I don't feel better. You've ruined it for me. You've ruined my afternoon. And I don't appreciate that. Like, Bailey needs, what Bailey was to Swaggy when she was telling Swaggy, like, chill. Yeah. Like, she needs herself back then because she's swaggying.
She needs a letter from herself in the past.
Yes. She needs that video that they tape like preseason.
Yes. She's Swaggy B. She needs to tone it down. She needs to not be giving people death stares, and she needs to be humble. I do think that that is a good lesson. Do you agree with that? When you are in a position of power that you should appear weak, Audrey?
I don't know if you should appear weak. But,
maybe weak's not the right word, but humble.
Yeah, definitely humble. I think it's hard because, I mean, as weeks go on, like, your ego is wrapped up in this game. And when you do get in that position of power, your ego a little bit wants to be like, you know, F you bitches.
Yes.
All people that you hate.
Yes. Well, we'll burn them all to the ground. Yeah. So we got the veto draw this week. No house guest choice. Taryn, I feel like that is a rarity to not have anybody on the house guest choice.
Yeah, I think it might be the first time it's happened all season long, actually. We've been getting them pretty consistently, but definitely a rarity this season.
Mm-hmm. We see that Bailey picked Sam, Rachel picked JC, and Brett picked Tyler this week. And so we got a competition where people had to build a road in the backyard. Audrey, did you like this competition?
No.
It was new.
It was new, but I felt like I literally asked the question out loud to my boyfriend when we were watching, like, did Big Brother like lose some of their budget for competition?
It was a little cheap. Yeah.
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 We did that. We had that interview with Trevor Boris, which I found very informative because I asked him about the difference between Big Brother Canada competitions and Big Brother US competitions and why it seemed like the Big Brother Canada ones were just like on a whole other level production wise. Mm-hmm. And one thing he mentioned is that on Big Brother Canada, they have this, it's all indoors. But Big Brother US has to deal with the sun and the fact that they're outside and it's hot. And so that's why they tend to go with the cheaper looking kind of themes and like summer fun kind of stuff. That said, they could have, you know, gone better than a, you know, Playmobil, like children's car
was super cheap too.
Yeah.
It's like a kid's toy car with the cardboard cutouts. You know, that's a good point though, Taryn, about the Big Brother Canada. And I think that it maybe has something to do also that the, so many of the competitions, especially the veto on Big Brother Canada, end up being product placement deals. And I just wonder if that also leads to a lot more, thinking ahead of time and planning of, you know, working with the sponsor on what the veto is going to be. And maybe a sponsor doesn't want to come in and, you know, have their name attached to a lame challenge, maybe like one that we saw tonight.
Yeah, definitely possible. I feel like there's definitely people on production that think this is like a cool aesthetic, right? Like, oh, it's our thing, guys. This is our trademark look. Like,
what?
People
what is
want
the look?
This. The Sin look City? Is... It's late 90s, early 2000s. At least they finally got a technology that was from like the 2010s with Goober.
Goober. Audrey, that was, it took me like a minute to figure out like, well, what are they wearing? Why are they wearing like these loud shirts and shorts and suspenders? And it's like, oh, wait, are they supposed to be like a Goober? Is that what that's what they're going for here?
Yeah, I think that CBS is trying to like overcompensate with the sense of humor for the lack of budget. So the silly outfits and Goober,
Such a stretch sometimes to like, wait, how are they making this leap from this to this? Like, okay, sure. We'll go with that.
Right.
Taryn, I also feel like that Rockstar is really trying to single-handedly kill.
Yes.
I mean that, she had nothing to say the whole episode except for just loudly, yes! Like, they're getting longer.
Yes, Rob. Yes. You're so right about the yes. Yes.
Did you notice this? That Rockstar is really gone full yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
It's at every conceivable moment, it's like, oh, Tyler got picked for the veto? Yes.
Yes.
Oh man!
We'll see if Brett stays on Thursday night. That's like, no. What is the opposite of yas? Do we know?
Nas.
Sam in the challenge. Is she trying to throw it, Audrey? I mean, she was talking about like, I like to color outside the line sometimes. And she was building road that like went to a dead end. Like my 2-year-old would like, okay, you have to get over there. Why are we going into this dead end that is going in the opposite direction?
He was just doing what was best for everyone in the Goobermobile.
Yes, yes, that is. We are
for
the highest good. Yes.
What you don't understand is that Sam is all about female empowerment, and she saw what happened to Caitlyn. She wants to make Caitlyn feel good about her performance as well and say, hey, look, everybody makes mistakes in puzzles. I think everyone involved in this competition, except for the three that actually didn't time out, were all kind of, you know, it was in solidarity for Caitlyn. It was all about female empowerment.
Do you feel like the dead end was sort of like representative of the glass ceiling, Taryn, where she's going to just break through that dead end wall?
Yeah, exactly. She's all about female empowerment. She's going to break through those dead ends, those glass ceilings, and Caitlyn's going to come back in the form of a bird. So it's all going to work out.
Yeah. She did come back in the form of a bird tonight. And we got to see JC talking to not Grandpa Lou, but talking to Caitlyn in bird form. She warged into a bird to visit the house tonight. This was JC with Caitlyn the bird.
That's Caitlyn. Wait, what are you saying? You have a message from Caitlyn?
You know, Audrey, we talk about all these challenges that they bring bird poop into every single endurance challenge, that they finally, for the first time in 20 seasons, have incorporated an actual bird pooping into the show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And
the, the sound effects is way too much. It is way more than a bird would ever, like, way more noise than a bird could ever conceivably make, especially from that distance. It was. That is not the sound of a bird. Where is that coming from?
Taryn, I think you're wrong on this. I'm pretty sure that they have... Audrey, there's a lot of microphones in that backyard, right?
Yeah, no, seriously, the microphones are powerful. I mean, I've heard worse bird farts on Animal Planet.
Mm-hmm. Caitlin Bird, please put on your microphone.
Well, the second they saw the bird, they knew Caitlin had a message, so they were really rushing in to get a mic right near it, and then all of a sudden, there you go.
Yeah. So it turns out that Tyler ends up winning the veto. Audrey, I thought that Brett had a pretty good strategy, but somewhere along the way, he was thinking, okay, well, there's all these pieces. I probably have to go like a really long way, but he ended up using too many pieces.
Right. So full disclosure, I'm under a tornado watch in my town, and this is the part where the weatherman took over my TV.
Yes, no problem. No problem. Are you safe now?
I am safe now, but I'm dressed like Dorothy, so who knows what's going to happen.
I would not say dress like Dorothy. I'd say, dressed very nicely.
Oh, yeah, very nicely.
Yes. So Tyler ends up winning the veto, and we see Tyler starting to go to work with Bailey. Now, Taryn, this is, we got a little bit here of Tyler trying to throw Scotty under the bus, but the show didn't really do anything with that after the fact.
Yeah, I imagine this is just like, I don't know, here to try to mislead you into thinking maybe he will play it. I really would have liked to have seen more diary rooms from Bailey to see just like who she actually would have put up if the veto was used, because she told a bunch of different people a bunch of different things. Granted, I think the idea was that if he surprised her with it, she'd kind of panic and then nominate Scotty in that panic. So it's hard to know for sure what she would have done without seeing the panic itself. But I guess this was just here as misdirection, because there wasn't really much indication otherwise that he was going to use the veto.
Yeah. The show had a difficult situation to work with, and Taryn did a great job of trying to talk this through over the weekend on the feed updates, where Tyler ends up talking to Bailey about what will happen if he uses the veto. And he asks her, Angela will go up, right? And it's unclear if that's what he wants or if that's what he thinks that she is going to do. She says, right. And it's also unclear. It would have been great to get a diary room about this, of that Bailey ends up telling Rachel, hey, Tyler said that if the veto, he would only use the veto if Angela ends up going up, which ends up sending Rachel into this whole spiral. Audrey, do you have any thoughts on the he said, she said of all of this in terms of what was meant and what was said?
Well, based on the edit that I saw, it looked like Tyler was just putting something out there and seeing how she would react to gauge, you know, what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
I personally love he said, she said on Big Brother. Mm-hmm. That's always really entertaining.
Especially when the editors give us the, like, because, you know, we forget what was actually said compared to that.
Right.
Because, Taryn, you did a good job the other day of talking this through in terms of this could be like one of these situations where nobody is lying. Everybody believes in the Rashomon version of this, of that they, you know, that what happened in their recollection is true.
Yeah. It's definitely possible. After Bailey had her conversation with Tyler, she was talking with Scotty and they were discussing like, would he use it? No, he said, if somebody came off, would I put up Angela? And that kind of got Scotty like, oh, cause he wants one of the girls out. And she was like, yeah, probably. That's exactly probably what he was talking about. And then that exactly probably became exactly, and it became confident. And then when she talked to Rachel about it, she was like, well, Tyler wants Angela up on the block. In fact, that's probably the only reason. Actually, that is, he basically said that the only way he'd use the veto is if I put Angela up on the block. So I think it kind of came that way. I do think that Bailey knew she was exaggerating at the very least, but mm-hmm. I think she felt like there was some hint of truth behind it.
Yeah. Taryn, do we know if a replacement nomination was going to get used, do you know who Bailey would have put up?
Like I said, I'm not exactly sure. I think that JC would have been one of the most likely people. I think in the moment, because she completely trusted that Tyler was not going to use it, I think she would have panicked and she would have thought, should I do JC? And Fessy would have been like, no. And JC would have been like, I think that's a bad idea. And so then there's... Yeah, exactly. There's definitely a chance that she panics and thinks Tyler was talking about Scotty and stuff. There's definitely a chance she does panic and put Scotty up. But I think JC is the most likely answer, but I don't think we'll ever know for sure.
Okay. So we have Rachel now on the warpath, and she's going out and she's pissed and she finds Angela. She's like, I need to talk right now. It's Tyler. Tyler is trying to get us up on the block together. And, you know, you would think that Angela and Rachel, they've been very tight this whole season, Audrey, that you think that Audrey would have had a little more loyalty to Rachel here. But something that we have not heard since the first night of Big Brother. Hey, Tyler's my guy from Hilton Head, South Carolina. He's not going to be trying to throw me under the bus.
Right.
Who knew? Taryn, did we know that Hilton Head was still such a big thing?
No, I don't think it's been mentioned much, probably because after that first episode, we got that diary room from Tyler, like, Angela, what are you doing? Keep this on the down low. He probably told her that, and they probably haven't talked about it much yeah. other than
because people
other
from
than
Hilton
in the diary
Head, they can never go against each other. If you're from
also, how would we know? Because this is Angela's really her first appearance on the show.
Yeah, I mean, we saw her a lot the first night, and then we have not seen her in 4.5. I think it was like from 5 weeks ago tonight. I think was the last time we saw her on the show because she won that half, and she battled Swaggy C, and she got into the misunderstanding with Swaggy C about what they were going to do. And then, but then she has been completely under the radar. But now she cannot believe that Tyler would do such a thing. And so she ends up going to KC. And KC also confirms, no, that does not sound like something that my Tyler would say. And for right. Rachel, things are going worse and worse, Audrey.
I know. Yeah. And every DR too, she really is trying to set herself up to be like the best player she can be. And it's just out of her control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even Angela's BS alarm was going off, Taryn.
Yeah. I mean, we all know she has a very finely tuned BS alarm. We know this of her.
Yeah. So watch out for the Angela BS alarm going off. And she's very angry about the whole thing that Rachel is full of crap, she says.
Yeah, she's so stone cold. And this is something that people have been noticing on the feeds. But even in the diary room, she's just like, yeah, Rachel's just like acting crazy now. So I don't know. She's just like not much emotion comes from Angela.
Yeah. Audrey, how did this come apart so quickly? I thought that they were like this tight alliance and the women of level 6 were all working together and they were going to take out Tyler in the end. And now it sort of just has gone kaput.
Yeah, true colors. I mean, shit hits the fan for the first time and now their true colors are just pouring out. And all relationships are starting to really reveal themselves of where they stand. It's dog eat dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we then get Rachel telling Angela about the Bailey power, which then gets passed along to Tyler, who, you know, for a week that this should have been terrible for Tyler, Audrey. This ends up being like a lot of good things happened to Tyler in this week.
Yeah. I mean, it's very consistent with all the other things that have happened for Tyler.
Yeah. Karen, I really feel like that the biggest threat for Tyler was that the women of level six at some point were going, he was going to work with them and then they were going to eventually turn on him. But if, you know, he gets through this week and Rachel is the person who goes home and Angela and KC are now really loyal to him, like, I feel like that this was a really great outcome for Tyler on Bailey's HOH week.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, as we saw in the veto ceremony, Bailey was like whispering, like, I love you, because he didn't use the veto. And so he's completely won Bailey over. Mm-hmm. He's completely taken control of like the allegiances of level six. It's definitely working out in Tyler's favor this week.
Yeah. And Audrey, on top of everything, that the probably the other biggest threat for Tyler's game was that something would happen with Caitlin, where she would turn on him, she would like start ratting him out to people, and now she's out of the mix also.
Yeah.
It's been...
The stars are aligned.
Yes, it's been...
The highest good, as Caitlin would say.
The highest good for Tyler. It's been a good week. Now, Brett is also on the block. We didn't see a ton from Brett this week in terms of being up there. We saw him in the veto competition. Do you have any thoughts on Brett, Audrey?
I mean, based on the edit, maybe he is trying to just play dead, stay chill. He's up against, he's on the block against one of his allies. So it doesn't make the most sense for him to, you know, lose all his marbles right away and maybe hold out, and she will lose her marbles kind of as she is.
Yeah. He's been very good, Taryn, in these spots, these 2 weeks that he's been up on the block, that, you know, he was up with two people from his own alliance, and both times that, you know, he was with people that were a little more out of control. Winston never really spun out like we thought he could, but we definitely got that on Rachel's nomination week.
Yeah, he's very good at just keeping his calm and being able to be boring during the week so that his allies see him as dependable and reliable. And that's really all that it takes, because when you're sitting next to somebody like Rachel or Winston, and they are showing that they are capable of freaking out and being unstable, then you look a lot better in comparison, which is why he's being targeted, but also why he's being kept. So it's working for him.
Okay. I want to start to bring in some of the questions from our listeners on Twitter. Hashtag RHAP if you want to get those in. L Anonymous wants to know, Audrey, when can we expect Caitlin on an upcoming season of Sequester?
Look, if her spirit guides are talking to my spirit guides, it's in the works.
Okay. Where is the bro fund me for that?
Where is the bro fund me for that?
Yes.
It's in the works.
Then we can get a bro fund me as another sponsor for just for Caitlin's appearance fee.
Right.
I'm going to manifest this, Audrey.
Okay. Yes, please do. Cause that would be great for Sequester. And also, I would love to watch it all go down.
It would be very exciting. What's been going on with Sequester?
So Sequester's original inception was this little fun online gaming community. And sorry, I'm getting a little bell happy.
That's why I don't let other people touch it. They get a little out of control.
I know. Only you can really handle this power. So it's kind of evolved into this live action thing. And a year ago, a bunch of people flew to Atlanta and we filmed you know, a version of the game inside of a huge house. We had a lot of fun, and we're uploading those episodes on YouTube now, and you can check them out. Sequester Access. Please like and subscribe.
Okay. And so that is it always going to be live action now as opposed to being over the internet?
Possibly. I'm talking with the sponsor right now, and potentially we might move the online version to the app. So that way it's viewable by the app, and kind of change it, tweak it a little bit into something more cool and easier to digest from a viewer's perspective.
Taryn wants to know, when will there be live feeds? Audrey is shrugging.
We're not Big Brother, so.
Okay. That's a different game.
Right. Okay. We can't spit out episodes as quickly as Big Brother.
Sorry, Taryn. No live feeds for Sequester.
It's the way it goes.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Robot Taryn had a question for Audrey. Because, Audrey, you famously cast a hinky vote at Devon's eviction on Big Brother 17. Yes. You were blamed for Steve and Liz's hinky votes during Jeff's eviction. Is the hinky vote useful, or can it be damaging to your game? Mr. Robot Taryn wants to know.
Mr. Robot Taryn, I believe it's a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. It can be a great thing, you know, if you're in a nice position in the house, and it can cause a little paranoia. But if you are just a walking hazard like myself with a constantly a beaming target, then it's probably not the best thing to do. It's just going to further make people not trust you.
Yeah. Who do you think, Audrey, are the best people that should use the hinky vote? Is it somebody who, is somebody who might be suspected of doing it, or people who would never be suspected of doing it?
Well, people who would never be suspected of doing it. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be fun if Tyler did.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? His game's going so well. I mean, why not just do something random?
Yeah, but the person that would be suspected of doing it can also hide under the guise of obviously it wasn't me. Everybody would think it would be me. And of course it wouldn't. That's exactly why I wouldn't do it.
I mean, yeah, you could. It just depends. In the Big Brother house, a lot of times when people, it's really easy for people to kind of get fixed in their ways. So when they have their mind made up about someone, they want that person to be guilty. So if you're already that person, it doesn't really matter. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you didn't.
Yeah.
Because people are just, that's how they are. It's not them, it's you.
Okay. This is a question from Alfie on Twitter. With all these roadblocks in the veto competition, were CBS using it to audition new Amazing Race teams, Audrey?
I didn't build that connection, but maybe they do little things like that.
Synergy.
So yeah, that's a good eye.
Yeah. Yeah. Audrey, who would be your Amazing Race partner?
Just in life?
From CBS Reality.
Okay. From CBS Reality. I would probably naturally choose Tiffany or Michelle because I'm closest with them.
Okay. All right. Taryn, do you want to get into the live feeds, or do you have anything else from the episode proper you want to talk about?
Well, I did have another question from Angel on Twitter, who wanted to know, do we believe that Bailey's strategy of threatening disembowelment of other house guests is effective and will catch on?
Yeah, this was from Bailey the other night when she went after.
She threatened disembowelment, is the gist of it. She said something along the lines of like carving out their intestines. I don't know. There might have been a comment about eating them, but who knows?
Here it is. Yeah. I called it.
It wasn't cute. It wasn't funny.
No.
It wasn't clever.
Okay.
Make sure that you didn't freaking flip tonight. If I find out that you flipped tonight and you didn't tell me, I will literally find you and literally just cut you up into pieces. Gut you from the inside out, and I will lay your intestines out.
Okay, she's just laying them out. She's not eating them. False alarm.
You know, if it comes down to Bailey's ability to lay out the intestines, if it's anything like her performance in laying out the road on the track that maybe it might take her a very long time. I don't know.
That was a different level of intimidation. Mm-hmm. And the Dexter of Big Brother 17, I loved it.
It wasn't funny. It wasn't cute.
It's not cute.
Knock it off. Yeah. Lots of stuff is not cute this season on Big Brother. Okay. We're going to get into talking about the spoilers. We are 24 hours away from the eviction. We'll talk about who is likely to go home, but it is close. So those things can change. We'll talk about what's coming up. If you're going to be bouncing out now, the winner of Big Brother 19, Josh Martinez, will join us. I said that was the South African Survivor pronunciation, is going to join us here on the show tomorrow night. So Josh will be here. Brent will be here. We'll talk about eviction number 5. Maybe we'll have a new HOH to talk about as well. So if you are bouncing out now, we will see you then. If not, let's talk about the live feeds.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. All right. You have a bell? Taryn, were you doing a new, were you doing a GIF or you really had to go somewhere? Are you ready to go get a plaid shirt? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't sure this is like when you did the Tyler coming up behind the couch.
No. You can only do that once, Rob.
All right.
Only do it once.
All right. Here we go, Audrey. We've got our live feed spoilers. We are one day away from somebody going home. Taryn, at this hour, how is it looking?
Right now, it is looking like Rachel will be leaving the house tomorrow night with a 5-4 vote.
Oh, boy. All right. So, Audrey, what do you think? Okay, so it's looking like Rachel is going to go home. 10 days ago, you would have said, what a great position Rachel is in. She really looks like that she's going to go far in this game. The whole thing has spun out of control, and she doesn't see it coming. What's been the biggest mistake for her?
I think just laying too low.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that seems like the ultimate strategy, but there really is a balance of it, and I think she's just laying too low. And I think a similar thing kind of happened to Tiffany in her season. You know, she was kind of oblivious to a lot of the stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. Feel like though with Tiffany that there were a lot of people like the great Pauly Calafiore who were really very focused on her. Was it Pauly or was it Frank that was really calling her out that because of Vanessa? Okay, that she's the mastermind. We need to go for her. And I don't feel like that Rachel necessarily has that image in the house where so many people are worried about her.
Right. Well, I mean, she does. Rachel does feel like she has that image, right? Because mm-hmm. didn't she mention that in tonight's episode to Bailey when she was in the HOH room? She mm-hmm. said, you know,
yeah, she was concerned if she performed well in the veto, people were going to be more worried about her. What about when Bailey first talked to her about going up on the block? Should she have put her foot down and been more stern about no? You can't put me on the block.
Oh,
I'm not willing to be the pawn.
Yes. I think after Bailey told her about the power app, she should have then said something along those lines. Yeah. Without, you know, passive aggressively being like, I will blackmail you if I go on.
Yeah. I will expose you. Yeah. Taryn, right. Do you feel like that Rachel could have turned it around on Bailey if she would have been more forceful at the point where Bailey wanted to put her on the block as a pawn?
I do feel like this scenario is probably one of the most valuable things to think about before you play the game, because I feel like it's something that happens a lot where the HOH approaches you to be a pawn and you need to decide how much do I push back? Do I piss them off enough that I become the target, or do I not say enough so that then I end up going on the block and then, things have shifted and now I'm going home all of a sudden. And so I do feel like Rachel was a bit too light with her approach. And I think that if she had tried harder to keep herself off the block, then I do think she would have stayed off the block. Bailey's initial intentions were to put JC up, but JC fought a bit harder, and he had Fessy stepping in to fight for him. And so Bailey felt there was more resistance on the JC side. She felt like JC would be freaking out more. And she has since come to regret her decision to put Rachel up on the block, because Rachel, after the fact, freaked out a lot more than she expected. And now she's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Like, now she's freaking out. It's so annoying. If I had known this ahead of time, I wouldn't have done it. So I do think there was something she could have done here.
You think you're better off freaking out before you go up on the block?
Yeah, you know, I do think it depends on the situation, and it depends on the HOH. But in this circumstance, yeah, I think that if she had expressed that she was like I'm going to freak out, I'm going to freak out, I'm going to lose it, then Bailey would have been like, okay, this is more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah, no, it does tend to go in the way where the more you resist when you're on the block, the more likely the house wants to go after you. Audrey, is that the essence of the blanketing strategy, where the more you fight, the more people want to get rid of you?
I don't know. Okay,
had Rachel blanketed this whole week, would she be going home on Thursday, Taryn?
I mean, it's hard to say, because I think that would have also given them the idea that she's not useful to their alliance. Like, because normally it's the opposing alliance that has control of the votes, and they're determining whether or not you should go home. So looking weak makes you less of a target, because the other side wants out the strongest player. But if your allies control the votes, then you want to seem the strongest and the biggest target, because then you are the most valuable to your allies. So I think that, you know, that's where Winston went wrong during his week against Brett. Was Winston was like, what I want to do is blend back into the background and keep myself off the target list. Meanwhile, Brett is going to be making big grandiose speeches and making a huge target of himself. Obviously, Brett is the more valuable member there. If anything, I think that in this scenario, if Rachel made a bigger target of herself to the other side, her allies would be more apt to keep her around.
Okay. Taryn, can you give us the update on what Brett's speech could potentially be? And then, Audrey, I want to get your reaction to if you think this is a good idea or not.
Yes. So he's discussed it with Angela and Tyler now. Basically, the plan right now is for him to stand up on eviction night and say and expose all the information that he has and blame everything on Rachel. And he's going to say, so I learned about the Maneaters Alliance, this women's alliance. I heard about that from Rachel. She said that Rockstar is the one that started it. Just to give a little something to Rockstar, mm-hmm. You know, a little homage. And then he's also going to say, I also learned about Bailey's power from Rachel. He's going to expose all of this information. He's going to blame all of it on Rachel. And they're hoping that this makes enough of a splash and it causes enough chaos and gets Bailey pissed off enough that it will justify. They're like, we panicked and we voted to evict Brett. We voted to evict Rachel. Whoops. We couldn't communicate. What a mess. I genuinely think it might work.
Audrey, do you like this idea for Brett?
I love this idea. I give Bailey a little more credit. I think she is like a perceptive person. I mean, she might see through it afterwards, but I can't wait to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I can't wait for the reaction of Angie Rockstar to all of this. I think that's
disgusting.
2 weeks after my daughter's birthday. How could you?
Real cute.
Real cute.
You know what that isn't? That is not yes. It's not yes at all.
Yeah, you know that Brett has really carved out this role for him, that he really, you don't see him all week on the show, but then in these speeches, in the veto speech, on the block speech, this is really his time to shine. I don't think we had another player like this that you could think of, Taryn.
I mean, maybe Godfrey from Big Brother Canada bit. But he's really like, he's their bulldog. Like they just like keep him around. He's very loyal. He's very obedient. And then they just sick him on the other side every once in a while to keep them scared of him. So they focus all their attention on him. And that's how he's surviving. Because normally you'd say this is terrible gameplay. You're just making a huge target of yourself. But this is why he's being kept around at the same time. And he's also winning the respect of a lot of people in the house in terms of his gameplay, because they're like, wow, everything he does is so effective. We like this guy. But he's so maniacal. He's an evil genius. So charismatic.
This question from Krista Zidino on Twitter. Audrey, if you were in Big Brother 20, which side would you have been on? Level 6 Faute, or would you have been a Fancy Fencerton, not a Fessy Fencerton?
The new and improved Audrey would join Level 6.
Okay.
But the old Audrey would be on Faute.
Faute.
He likes the drama.
Okay. Then we had some other live feed questions. This is, I think it was from DJ LaBelle Klein. What should Rachel be cluing into realize that she is in danger? Level 6 seems to be doing a good job of reassuring her. Is she missing any key signals? Taryn, what's the biggest piece of the puzzle? Sorry, Caitlin. I don't mean to talk about puzzles. What is the biggest thing that that Rachel is not picking up on, Taryn?
Well, very similar to her conversation with Bailey, where Bailey was not looking at her. She had a conversation with Angela today where Angela was like underneath the blankets and like barely saying two words to her. Yet again, it's like, pick up on some of those small little signs that these people are not engaged with you in their conversations. And when you're asking them, like, so you are keeping me, right? And they're like, yeah, well, what are you, why are you even asking that? Of course I am, definitely. You know, the body language is way off. But they're so stuck, or Rachel is so stuck, like, in her own head and anxiety that she's had to spend the week convincing herself to not freak out so that she doesn't lose votes. And so that part of her brain that's telling her don't freak out is also telling her to ignore the signs that should make her freak out. And it's kind of a double-edged sword in that way.
Yeah.
I feel like Rachel is, I feel like she mentioned before that she cares a lot about how other people perceive her. And I wonder if part of this or her meltdown is like an overcalculation of how I'm being perceived out beyond this and how this will come across if I do something like this, because she does not want to be doomed as, you know, that player. That's just me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And just because you're not being paranoid doesn't mean everybody's not coming to get you.
Right.
Yes. There was a question that was from Kieran, wants to know, Audrey, are you going to be watching Russell Hantz on Australian Survivor 3?
I did not know that he was going to be on Survivor Australian 3.
Yes. So. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'll take that. I'll take that as a nah. No.
Oh, yeah. I will definitely try to watch him. Yes.
Okay. You don't have to watch it for us. If you don't want to watch it, you don't have to.
I mean, I want to see what happens.
Yes.
I like Russell Hantz on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Audrey, who needs to win HOH tomorrow night?
Who needs to win it? Who needs to win it, or who do I need to win it?
Well, who do you... Well, tell us both, then.
Okay. I believe that Rockstar needs to win it, and I need her to win it.
Okay. All right. But there's no chance Rockstar will win it, right?
Not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
It depends what the competition would be. I mean, the last one was kind of luck, and then it was endurance, so maybe this one would require more skill, so probably... Not
yeah,
we, We do know the feeds went down and the house guests were shown, I think, a video or something along those lines. So this is going to be like a quiz slash memory competition. And they've all been studying all night. So I do think she has a decent shot to win this one. She was in it pretty far in the last competition that was similar to this one. So I would not put it past her to win this competition.
Yes.
It would be very exciting because, you know, the theme of the season has been, you know, Faute people being HOH and then having very messy HOH weeks. So for, you know, 6 weeks running, that would be very fun.
That would be super fun.
Be very excited. Tara, anything else that we should be on the lookout for over these next 24 hours?
Well, I based on what it looks like, it seems like Brett has this information down pretty well. He's been studying on his own, and he seems to be very confident in the information he has. So I would also not be surprised if we get a Brett HOH following the split vote, which could be very fun.
Disgusting.
Yes. Of course, basically all of Level 6 now knows about Bailey's power. They also have now officially found out that the more of the details about it. It's lasting at least 2 more weeks, they know. And they know that it has to be used before the initial nominations. It is not good for the renom. So they also know how to get around the power. And they are thinking about how to get around it and get Bailey out without her having or without her being able to use it. So this is really looking bad for her with this power spillage.
Mike Zahn wants to know, can Taryn give us a preview of Fessy's reaction as the votes are revealed tomorrow night?
What? Oh my God, what's going on? What is happening? This is such a strategic and social experiment. Oh my God, why? Mm-hmm. I don't even know what's going on, Haley. Did you do this? Are you playing me? Who did it? Was it you? Oh.
Okay. We'll see.
You don't even need to watch the feeds. That was it.
Yeah.
And JC will be like,
yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Audrey, anything else you want to talk about for Big Brother 20 or sequester or anything else going on?
I'm excited to see what happens tomorrow. I hope that somehow the vote switches. Actually, you know what? I'm okay with Rachel going. I want Rockstar to win HOH. I'm putting that seed out in the universe.
Manifest it.
I am manifesting it. I will see it harvest. And as far as Sequester, we're casting right now for the next live action game. So if you've ever wanted to see what it's like to play a game like Survivor Big Brother in person with real strangers for 5 days, go sign up now.
How do people do that?
Go to sequesteraccess.com, hit application. It'll take you right to the page. Tell us a little info about yourself. You don't have to be a Sequester super fan to play the game. Mm-hmm. It'll be a ton of fun, and if you win, you'll get a $2,500 check.
All right,
a finale. So,
okay, and then I really hope you'll consider Caitlin.
I will.
I want to. What do I have to start? Change.org petition.
Yeah, sure. Do that. Yes. I'm going to meditate on it, and we'll see.
Okay, and then she would physically be somewhere where she'd have to go play that. Taryn, you would like that, right?
Yeah, well, I do have some advice. If you want to get Caitlin to play, you should definitely cast somebody whose name starts with T and is blonde with blue eyes.
Scrawny?
Just a hint, yeah.
Okay, all right. By the way, Audrey, just a programming note, did you see that TKO normally is scheduled to air, even though it never did air in the same time slot more than once, is now being moved to Fridays.
Oh, no way.
Friday night at 8 for TKO. Check your local listings.
Yeah, that's too bad. I'm going to miss it.
Yes. Who will be the first person to play TKO and Sequester, Audrey? Will it be Tyler?
Maybe it'll be Tyler, yeah. We'll see if TKO is still here If it's still around in a year.
Okay, we'll see. The moving to the Friday death slot, that's like going up on the block, but The Amazing Race, they came down and they are able to continue on after that. And of course, on tomorrow night, we will also see Julie Chen for the first time since all of the story broke with Les Moonves. She was back on The Talk this week, so this is the first time we will see the live version of Julie Chen tomorrow night. So a lot of intrigue as well with the first live show with that as well. So it should be an interesting night on Thursday. All right, Audrey, thank you so much. Where can people follow you on social media?
You can follow me on at @ODDREYM on pretty much any platform. If you don't, I won't be offended. I barely post. I'm pretty boring. But if you want to follow Sequester, at Sequester Access.
Yes, yes. Of course, Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. Taryn will be back with another live feed update coming up tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. It should be a lot of fun. And then tomorrow night, we will be back with Josh Martinez. And we will talk with Brent as well and talk about everything from this latest Big Brother eviction. Also, earlier tonight, I got on the phone with Mike Bloom, and we talked all about the most ambitious crossover event of all time, where the Big Brother players took on the Survivor All-Stars on Fear Factor. Audrey, did you watch this?
I missed it, but I saw who won, and I'm very happy.
Don't spoil it. We will spoil it fully on the recap, but Taryn, did you get to watch any of this?
I haven't yet, no, but I'm very excited, Rob. I've never been more excited since I saw the last big crossover, which was The Price is Right, and that blew me away.
It was from representing Big Brother. They had Brendan and Rachel, and then they had Cody Calafiore and Zach Rant sighting, and then they had the big Mount Rushmore of Survivor taking on the Big Brother people. It was Abby Maria with fan favorite Sierra Dawn Thomas and Beast Mode Cowboy and Beast Mode Cowboy's brother. They couldn't even get four Survivor people.
Yeah, they couldn't get Ty. What's going on?
You guys, Big Brother is taking over everything.
Yeah, including the Survivor slots for the Survivor versus Big Brother Fear Factor. Yeah, so true story. Also, some bonus coverage as well. I checked out one of Taryn's favorite shows, Final Reckoning, on Tuesday night as well, because there was some major drama with Paulie Calafiore coming from his way. And we spent a good 10-15 minutes talking about that as well on the podcast I recorded with Mike Bloom earlier tonight. I'm going to edit it and post it after the show tonight. So thank you guys so much for joining us. Come on back tomorrow night. Thanks to all of our recent patrons as well. To find out more about the benefits of becoming a Rob's Podcast patron, go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. We'll be right back.